Gracious Lord, just thank you for this day, Lord. Just I pray that you just speak to us right now, Lord, and just guide us, Lord, and just teach us what we need to be taught, Lord, and just open our heart and mind, Lord, that we just could focus on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to be speaking on Jonah. All right, just one little thing I just want to start off with is the city of Jonah. It's like the city of Nineveh. Lord had told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. Well, just a little historical background on Nineveh is like it was a huge city. Like there's just like in verse 2 it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So right away, the Lord shows that this is a great city, and it's a big city. Even that there's like 120,000 people in the city. You know, that's what the end of the chapter talked about, too. Nineveh, the people were in it that were Assyrians. So I don't know if you know too much about Assyrians, but they're pretty wicked people. Like, when they captured people, they, like, hooked people's mouths, they... You know, skin people alive. You know, I read this one story. They, like, dug people into the ground and just, like, made them, like, just to their head. And so they just die that way. I mean, it's just terrible, like, what these guys do. One of the things shows that, you know, you see in this book about Nineveh and the Assyrians is their wickedness. You know, they're a wicked, wicked city, you know, and like it's kind of like our world now. You know, our world is getting more wicked as it goes by. You know, the world, you know, it's always, you know, around the world there's killing of innocent blood, you know, from abortion to, you know, killing of just Christians, and, you know, just people are just so wicked, you know, around the world, and, you know, just even here, you know, it's like, and we're legalizing homosexuality, you know, abortions going around still, and, you know, it's just sad to see how far the world has fallen. You know, it's sad to see how Nineveh was fallen and how wicked they were. You know, but it's cool that, like, some of the things that the, you know, you learn through Jonah. So I'm just going to read, like, a chapter, and then I'm going to talk about it, so... chapter 1, it's going to be, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them, Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the city, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried even every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares and that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said on them unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil? Is this upon us? What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is the country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. then said unto them, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? And the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this is great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it, done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So one thing that stood out to me in chapter 1 when I first read this was Jonah was running from the presence of the Lord. You know, I was like, who would want to run away from the presence of the Lord? You know, his presence is so awesome. His presence is mighty. But, you know, but you see it all throughout, you know, the Bible, you know, starting from the beginning of Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve hiding from the presence of the Lord. You know, it's like, it's crazy. It's like, you see these men's heart. You know, it's like, Jonah, he didn't want to go preach to these guys for whatever reason. Whether the Assyrians had attacked Israel before, and he saw how cruel they are and how wicked these people are, and he was just like, man, they should just, you know, perish, you know. It's like, but he, whatever reason, he just didn't want to go, you know. It's like, Adam and Eve, you know, obviously they ate the fruit, you know, their eyes were open, you know, they saw their sin, you know. That reminds me of sometimes even myself, like, when I'm a sinner, you know, I just like, how could I just stand before a holy God? You know, how could I come to him, you know, a lot of the times, you know, and I'm ashamed and my sins and the actions I've done. And, but, you know, God's presence is always there. You know, it's cool that he accepts me and he loves me and he wants me there. You know, other one I see was Cain. After he killed Abel, you know, he left the presence of the Lord, it says. In chapter 4:16 in Genesis, says, you know, he left the presence of the Lord. You know, and in Acts 3:19, it talks about repenting and like how we need to be in the presence of the Lord, though. Because if you're not in the presence of the Lord, if you're not admitting to, like, tell him your sins and everything like that, it's like, and you're trying to avoid God, you're trying to say, oh, there's not a God. Or you're like, I don't want to be with God, you know, and just this God thing is make believe or whatever. It's real in the sense that if we're hiding and we're getting away from God, we won't make it into heaven. Because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. You know, we have to be in his presence. We have to be seeking him. We want to be closer to him, you know. And during those times, we got to be praying, you know, and getting closer to him and want to be in that presence, even if we're just messed up in our sins. You know, whether sometimes, you know, our minds, you know, just like, oh, man, like, what am I thinking? What am I doing today? You know, and but we need to correct it. We need to remind ourselves, get in the Word, remember God's Word on what it says about, you know, how, what kind of mindset, where we should be at. You know, we should be close to the Lord, you know. And it's sad that, you know, these men were trying to get away from it, you know. People today are trying to get away from it. You know, family members are trying to get away from it, you know. One of the things that I found really cool in Psalms, in 139, let's see, 1 through 12, it just shows us that even though, like, if we tried to get away from, we can't, you know. And it's kind of funny just kind of think of, like, oh, I could run from God. I could hide from God. And it's just like David, you know, understood, like, you can't go anywhere because God's going to always be there. And David said in Psalms 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but law, O Lord. Thou knowest it all together, and thou beset me behind and before, and lay thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Whether I shall go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the light shall delight, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So everywhere, you know, it's just like, you know, David understood that. You know, David just had that understanding. Man, wherever I go, whether I die, whether, you know, I try to get up and go here or there, you know, he's always there for me. He's always there. Whether I try to hide the light, but the light is just going to be too much and it's going to overcome the light. You know, it's kind of cool that, you know, darkness can't overcome light. It can't. You find a match and the light's there. You know, and that's how the Lord is. Once his presence there, can't put it out. You know? And so, one of the questions I have was how are you like trying to hide yourselves from the Lord? You know, how is it? You just, you know, going through the motion, you know, you thinking of, wow, always kind of go through your mind of, hey, you know, there's not a God, you know, or just accepting your sins and just keep walking in sin and, you know, not realizing, you know, that you need the Lord. You know, it's crazy. Like, there's so many ways we try to run from God, you know, and hide from him. You know, I remember just like a few years ago, I was, you know, it's kind of crazy. You know, I was trying to, you know, I think every Christian goes through it, but I was, you know, trying to run from God. You know, I was trying to say, there's not a God. It's all stuff my parents told me and, you know, but as hard as I tried, you know, and the more I got into my sins, you know, the deeper, the heavier it got my heart and the harder it got. And, you know, God will always just say, hey, you know, there's something better. And it's not just because your parents told you, it's because you actually felt me before. You actually dwelled with me and you actually knew me. You know, you're just going through a rough patch. You know, just hold on tight and, you know, I'll lead you through and get you through. You know, so, you know, I'm glad that the Lord just let me hold on to whatever I had. So, going back to, let's see, Jonah now, chapter 2. Also, just a side note, just read Jonah, just because, like, there's a lot of similarities in chapter 1 that you see of Jesus. You know, like, the sea when he's sleeping, Jesus went through the storm and his disciples were all afraid and he was sleeping. And, you know, Jonah, the same thing, he was sleeping. But he understood because it was the Lord. And Jesus understood, hey, you know, I could tell the seas just to be calm. Don't worry about it. You know, and even these people, you know, even Jonah understood, hey, wow, this my God can make the sea calm. You know, he's the one who made it. You know. And you know, other thing I liked is that in Jonah chapter 1 was that the men, these men who were taking them, you know, they didn't know God, but they had a good heart in the sense that they didn't want to cast Jonah overboard. You know, and the Lord, you know, it's like they try to row their boat against the sea and everything to save this man. A man who was himself was in wrong, who wanted, was supposed to go tell people so they could be saved. And yet Jonah was running away from that, and these men were trying to save him. It's kind of ironic, I thought. And I was like, whoa, like, here are people trying to save a man who doesn't even want to help other people, you know. And, but, so chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into this deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about all thy bellows, and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I cast out of the sight, yet I will look again towards the thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soles, and the depth closed me around about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Thy that observe lying vanities for his sake, their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So the biggest thing I got out of this was chapter 2 was crying out to the Lord. You know, it's like we have to realize, you know, like there's just so many. I guess the main person I could see through the Bible who always cried out to the Lord, who always gave praise to God and the othermost parts of, you know, his mess ups, he never took his eyes off God was David. I think that's so cool. Like, David here was a king. He was you know, he had some wicked sins. And he had true enemies trying to kill him. He had his own son trying to kill him. You know, he had all these other people trying to kill him. His best friend, Saul. And, you know, it's just, he never, never doubted God, though. You know, he always cried out to the Lord. He always understood that there's one person that could help him out. There's one person that could get him through these trials. There's one person that could defeat his enemies. You know, and that was God. And he always cried out to the Lord. Always. It was so cool just reading all the Psalms that, you know, he's writing. It's either he's crying out to the Lord, or he's praising the Lord. You know, he's always saying that. It's so cool. I'm like, man, I want to be like that, in the sense that even through the hard times, whether I'm just like this in the belly of the fish, and, you know, I feel like I'm just suffocating with my own sin, you know, and that sin is just overcoming, I want to be able to cry out to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I need your help. Hey, Lord, I need you to get rid of the sin that's in my life. Hey, Lord, I need you to help me through these hard times. You know, whether it's someone in our life, you know, just dies, or, you know, your friends, you know, breakups, or all that hard aches that we have in life. You know, worrying about money, worrying about whether we're going to get married, or worrying about, you know, how are we going to make rent? You know, it's like, no, we just understand our God could take care of that stuff. That's stuff we don't need to worry about. You know, it's like, he is so mighty, he's so strong. Like, you know, I just don't want to have that heart. And, you know, it's like, in Psalm 69, you see him crying out to the Lord, 1 through 2. And then Psalms 147, 3, also you just see him crying out to the Lord. It's just, I want to read those real fast too, real fast. So it says, in Psalm 69, it says, in this other Psalm of David, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." And then it's actually verse 3 too. "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my Lord, my God." It just shows how much passion, how much trust he had in God. Where here he is, he's crying so much that his throat is dry and his eyes are just, you know, so sleepy. You know, have you ever just cried like that where you're just like, cry so much and you're just hurting and you just curled up in a ball and you just want to pass out and you just, you know, you end up just passing out because you're crying so much, you know, it's like, and here was David, man, a soldier, a king, crying out to God like that, brought down to his knees, and, you know, I could just see him just weeping onto God and asking him to come help him, so... I'm just going to go to chapter 3 now. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great, of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will return, or tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, and that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." The themes I got for chapter this was, one, he gave Jonah a second chance. You know, that's so cool. It's like, here he was running away, and, you know, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry, and then he was just like, all right, here's your second chance, go. And, you know, Jonah went to this huge city. I think that's crazy. It's like a 3-day journey to get across the city, you know. Must have been pretty huge. Like, I was reading up on Nineveh and just like how the walls were built and everything. And it's pretty crazy how they describe Nineveh. You know, they said like the walls were almost like 10 feet stories, and you know, like you could fit chariots on the wall and everything, and you know, so they could guard it. And you know, it's pretty interesting on how they describe Nineveh, like some historians. And but also, just one of the biggest things you see here is repent. You know, it's repent. And it's repent of our evil ways. Your evil ways, you know. And this is one thing we have to be, like, recognize. We have to recognize of our sins. We have to recognize the evilness that we have, you know, that we could have. You know, obviously through Christ, you know, that's all washed away. But, you know, every day we struggle with sin. Every day we either struggle with pride, money, sexual lust, you know, just even just desires of whatever, putting other things before God, so idols, you know, vanity, you know, just worrying about your appearance, worrying about what people think of you and stuff like that too. You know, there's a lot of stuff where, you know, we need to watch for, you know, of that is evil. You know, and we have to realize, you know, what the evil people are doing too. So then we could tell them to repent. You know, the Lord, you know, I find it interesting in Matthew 4:17, right away, Jesus, you know, when he started his ministry, his thing was, first thing was, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And, you know, I think it's like, sometimes we forget about that. We forget that we have to repent. We have to turn away from our sins. We have to get away from the evil things that we once were. You know, we all have done evil. You know, we are, you know, what the Lord says, our hearts are wicked. You know, our hearts are wicked. The only good person, the only good thing is Jesus. You know, he's the only one that can make our hearts like his. And so it's kind of going back from the beginning. So if we're not in his presence, we're not spending time in prayer, we're not spending time getting closer to Jesus, how are our hearts going to be? Our hearts are not going to be any good, you know, because, you know, I know myself, once I start stepping back away from the Lord and stop, like, reading my Bible or stop praying, I fall into my sins easier. And I get caught up in things. And I'm like, oh, okay, here I got to go again. You know, I was like, I got to repent. You know, and I got to come to the Lord again and just ask him for his forgiveness. And that's the cool thing, though, is that the Lord is always wanting us to come back to him. You know, and it's just like, what evil, I wrote up there, it's like, what evil do you have to repent of? What sin do you have to repent of? What things are you guys hiding from the Lord or trying to hide from the Lord? You know, it's like, give it up to the Lord. Give it up to him. You know, such as David gave up everything. You know, like right when he fell, he messed up with Bathsheba, he went on the rooftop, cried out to the Lord. It was saying, man, sorry, God. You know? David realized that every time, and his heart was so awesome in that sense that, you know, he really wanted to be with God. He really wanted to be like God. And God said, David was a faithful servant, and he is a man after my own heart. And I see that because, not because David was perfect, because we all know he wasn't perfect. You all know he messed up, but he never put a other God above God. He never let himself. When he was wrong, he realized he was wrong. And he was like, all right, sorry, God, I understand. and I understand the punishment I have to go through. You know, I understand that, like a father scolds his kid, and the punishment sometimes a father has to do or a mother has to do to the kid. I understand God does that too. David understood that. Because David, like, he lost, what, his first kid. Imagine how hurtful was that for him. Man, to know that, man, I got to lose my firstborn from this person. Imagine how hurtful he was knowing that his son was trying to kill him. You know, or times that he was in caves all by himself because everyone was out to kill him. And we think we have it rough because, you know, we got someone who doesn't like us, you know. I mean, he trusted God all through that. You know, and that's one thing, like, I know God has done in my life. He's given us all second chances, more than second chances. He gave us like a billion chances, you know. And, you know, he's always willing to hear us repent. And the Lord just says, repent, turn, pick up your cross. You know, come to me. I'm waiting for you. You know, it's not, oh, you messed up again, dude. You're dead. You know, no, he's just like, all right, you messed up again. Hopefully you understand this time. You know, and he will correct us. You know, sometimes it's a hard way of correcting. You know, sometimes it's, you know, gentle. You know, usually it's the gentle because God is slow to anger. You know, that's a cool thing. Our God is just so merciful to us. You know. So, you know, it's just like really think about stuff you are going through. Really think about the things that you have to give up to God. You know, really think about the sins that you have in your life right now that you have to deal with. You know, that you have to give up to the Lord. You know, it's just like, I know there's a lot of stuff I have to work on. You know, I'm wanting to give it to the Lord. I'm seeking Him. I'm praying to Him. I'm, you know, crying out to Him daily so that I could get closer to Him. Because I know who I am, you know. I know sometimes where my heart is, where my mind is. You know, and it's not perfect. So, you know, just really think of those things. And then chapter 4 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a guard and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the guard. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the guard that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a venomous east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die to live. And God said unto Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the guard? He said, I do well to angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the guard, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons, and that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So, you know, this one I just put chapter 4 was gracious God. You know, and obviously, you know, the first thing, you know, he says, Jonah says, is like, I didn't want to go to this country because I know you're a gracious God. And you're merciful, slow to anger, and, you know, and great kindness. And, you know, you let people repent of their evil. And that's why I didn't want to go, because I want these people to die. I want them to die in their sin. You know, I mean, I was just like, when I read this, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, he was more concerned about a plant than a whole city, 120,000 people. Man, that's kind of jacked up heart right there. I was like, man, you care about this plant, but not these people. And he was a prophet of God. You know, it just shows that, you know, God uses broken, jacked up people. You know? And, you know, it's just so amazing though, like, even then, when Jonah was going out there to sit down in his tree and see, hopefully watching God destroy the city, you know, God was like, here, Jonah, I'll make you a plant, you know, so you could have shade and, you know, so you won't be in the heat. And then, you know, then the Lord realized, you know, it's just like, he wanted to realize that, look at where your heart's at, man. You care about this plant, which is I made. You didn't even make it. You didn't even grow it. You didn't even put the seed in the ground and put water on it. You didn't do that. I just made it come up. So you could be shadow and you could have, you know, shade and everything. And, you know, that's how the Lord is with us. And a lot of times we're messing up and the Lord's like still gracious to us and still blesses us. You know, when we don't need, when we don't deserve it. You know, I'm like, I know this is so many times throughout the day I'm blessed by something and the Lord, I'm just like, sometimes I don't understand because I know a moment ago I was just jacked up in my mind and I was in sin. And then I just like, man, I realized how gracious my God is. You know, how gracious Jesus is. You know, how slow to anger he is to me. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, I wonder if he would just flick us and just like wake us up, you know. And just like, but no, he is gracious. He is slow to anger, you know. And just, you just see this whole story, you know, of Jonah. And, you know, just a lot of principles we could just take of and realize that we need to realize in our lives. You know, we need to, when God calls us to do things too, we need to go do them. And we need to do unto the Lord, whether we like it or not. You know, and just because, you know, there will be times, you know, the Lord's going to tell you to do things and you're going to be like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, and I bet you that's how Jonah was. This was like, what? Are you kidding me? These people are really, really wicked. You know, I'd rather see them die. You know, it's like, you know, the best comparison I could kind of come up with was like during World War II when, you know, Holocaust and everything, and asking a Jew to go preach to a whole city of Germans, you know, and what do you think the Jew would be saying? Heck no, they're killing our people. They're, you know, putting them in gas chambers and just, you know, like, why would I want to go preach to those people? Because, you know what, those people are wicked. You know, but I know he showed Jonah this, even this part on that part, and how wicked his heart was, in the sense that, you know, he cared more for a plant than 120,000 people. You know, sometimes we just care about ourselves instead of caring about our neighbors or, you know, even our loved ones. It's kind of sad, you know. It's just like, I was thinking about my own self. It's like, how many times have I told my loved ones, hey, you guys need to repent. You need to repent from your sins. You guys need to turn to the Lord. Because you know what? The Lord is gracious and the Lord will forgive you for what you guys have, what are you guys are doing and what you guys have done. You know, and I need to be more like that. You know, and well, that's it.
Thank you.